Well, amen. Thank you, Eileen. Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 2, for the message this morning. I want to continue where I left off with you last Sunday morning on the subject of gladness in verse 46. Let's go back to verse 41 and we'll read down through verse 47. And I want to share with you a few thoughts this morning on the subject of gladness. Just a few more things before we move on. The next phrase that is found in verse 46 is the phrase "and singleness of heart." And I'm going to be speaking on that tonight. I would almost feel like preaching on that one this morning, but I'm going to hold off and wait. Do it tonight. There's some great things that we're going to see about singleness of heart tonight. But look at verse 41, and we'll read down to verse 47. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they," these 3,000 souls, "continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." All right, let's pray. Our Father, how thankful we are that we have a Bible. And Lord, there are so many wonderful things in this Bible. And Lord, we sit amazed every time we gather and open the Bible and look into its depths and realize the mind of God is written for our understanding. And Lord, certainly as we have learned, the Bible is not all that God knows, but it's all you want us to know. And so, Father, thank you for these wonderful truths that you give us. And I pray today as we look at this characteristic that followed the decision that these 3,000 made by trusting Jesus as their Savior, I pray that you will help us to ask the question, is this characteristic in me? Lord, there's so much unhappiness in the world today. Lord, we need, however, to be glad. And I pray that you will just help us, Lord, to think and to allow the Spirit of God opportunity to do his work in our midst. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I have just a few more thoughts to give you on the matter of gladness. We saw last week that these 3,000 people that got saved did not just take off and go back home. They were so thrilled with their new relationship with Christ. They were so thrilled with what the Lord was doing, and they couldn't get enough of the teaching of the apostles. They just stayed and stayed in Jerusalem, went to church every day, sat under the ministry and the direction of the apostles, and just learned and grew and got all they could. And one of the characteristics that we saw last week, one of the things that was in their hearts was this matter of gladness. And you know, gladness is something that is missing in far too many people today. There are so many Christians that their lives are just so full of problems and complications. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 5,000 times since I've been in the ministry. Pastor, I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. And happiness is something that we're always looking for, but we just can't ever seem to find. There is not that joy, that happiness, that thrill, that delight in our hearts today, like we read about in the second chapter of Acts here, where these people were in the church and were happy in the church. Today we work long hours and we scrape and scrap to make ends meet, and we get so bogged down with life that we find ourselves in a constant rat race, and joy and happiness and gladness just seems to always elude us. Now, before I get to the heart of what I want to say this morning, let me just lay a little foundation upon which we can build the message this morning. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Joy, gladness, happiness, contrary to popular opinion, does not depend on circumstances. Man, I hope if I can't get anything else across to you this morning, that I will be able to get this point across to you this morning. We live in a world that thinks that happiness depends upon our physical and emotional and mental having a lot of things. Folks, happiness does not depend upon circumstances. We need to get that understood. It's just the opposite of what the world thinks. The world seems to think that, you know, if my pockets are full, my bank account's full, and I'm healthy, and I've got everybody around me healthy, then I can be happy. And folks, it's not things that make you happy. And if you lost, let's say you had all those things and then you lost all those things, are you saying that you could never be happy again for the rest of your life? You see, things are not what makes us happy. We need to understand that things can enhance our happiness. There are things that we can have in our lives or we can get in our lives that can enhance happiness and enhance joy and enhance gladness. But we need to realize that these are not the things that cause our happiness. Our happiness is something that is given to us by a right relationship with God Almighty. Now, I will show you that from the Bible here in just a minute, but we need to understand that happiness is something that comes from God. It is not something that comes from money or from ourselves or from our circumstances or from our health. These things and many others can enhance the happiness that is in our hearts, but they are not the source of our happiness. The only joy that we should be talking about, and the only joy that we should be seeking, is joy that is independent of our circumstances. And that is what is so wonderful about the joy and gladness that we read about these early Christians in Acts chapter 2 having. After they became born again, after they became saved, after they became Christians, it did not take long for the persecution and for the mistreatment against them to start. But as you continue reading in the book of Acts, you will find that when it started, they did not lose their joy. In other words, their joy was not circumstantial. Their joy was something that came from God. God was the one that put that joy in their hearts. Therefore, when the persecution came and when the trials came and when the heartaches came, they just continued right on with their joy. Now, let me illustrate this with a very familiar passage of Scripture. You need not turn to it. You know the story. But in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we find Paul and Silas going into the town of Philippi. When they went into Philippi, they went for one purpose, and that was to win folks to Christ and start churches. They went down to the main thoroughfare where all the people were, and they started preaching. And when they did, they led several folks to Christ. While they were in the process of winning people to the Lord, this young lady started to follow them. And this young lady was possessed with an evil spirit. She, because of her possession of this evil spirit, was being used by some wicked men to as a fortune teller. And what she would do is they would employ her. She would tell fortunes, and of course it was the evil spirit doing it in her, and these men would then collect a great deal of money all this was working against her. And so what we find is that this young lady started following Paul and Silas. She is coming behind them, and she's crying out and saying to the people as they came, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, Paul put up with that for a little while. But then he decided he'd had enough. So he turned around and he cast this evil spirit out of this girl. And when that happened, that made the men who owned her angry. They got very upset because Paul had cut off a source of income for them. And so they went to the officials, to the magistrates, and reported Paul. And Paul and Silas were arrested and thrown in jail for doing this girl a good deed and casting the evil spirit out of her. Now, here's the amazing thing. They took Paul, gave him no trial. They beat Paul and Silas, scourged them, put them in the inner prison, bound their hands and their feet in stocks. Now, the question is, what effect did this have upon Paul and Silas? Well, if you'll go over, don't turn to it, but if you'll go over to chapter 16 and verse 25, you will read where Luke says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." You see, something wonderful was happening in that prison. There were basically two types of people in that prison. There was Paul and Silas, believers, Christians, saved people, servants of the living Christ, and members of the church. And secondly, there were all the prisoners that were there, and the prisoners were unbelievers. They were godless individuals. They were men of the world who were being held in prison, cursing fate and unable to sleep at night, even at midnight. And they were so unhappy and so miserable. Two groups of people here. Yet identical circumstances, but notice one of the two groups is able to sing and be happy. And that's Paul and Silas, the believers. The other group was typical of those who have no joy apart from that which the world supplies. So folks, what I'm trying to get you to see here is that that is the true source of joy. You must get your happiness from God. If it's something that's in the heart, the circumstances aren't going to change it. The circumstances aren't going to make any difference. And Paul and Silas's happiness was a God-given happiness. And it was given because they were rightly related to their God. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to be discouraging this morning. But the truth of the matter is, all of us will eventually be in a position in which most of the things that we rely on in this world for happiness are going to be taken away from us. Now, we're all headed down that road. And this is where the true test of life is measured. And the question is, how will you stand up when there's loss and calamity? How will you stand up when your health is gone? How will you stand up when you have to face death? How are you going to stand up when one day you find yourself alone, absolutely alone? Will you be able to rejoice then? You see, folks, this is the test. And these early Christians knew the source for real, true happiness, real, true Bible joy. And this is what Christianity offers. This is the nature of true joy and gladness. All right, nod your heads. Everybody with me so far? All right, now, let me just ask a question and then give you several answers here. What is the explanation of such joy and gladness? How do you explain this? You know, we read this and this is just, let's be honest, this is so far from where most of us live. So how do you explain this joy and gladness that these early Christians had? And I suppose the question we need to ask ourselves is, well, can all of us obtain this? Can we have this today in 2007? Can we have this kind of joy that we read about here? And folks, the message of the New Testament church is yes. Yes, we can. We can have this joy. You say, well, Pastor, if we can have it, I want it. All right, listen very carefully. We can have this joy and happiness. But we must do the same thing these people did in order to get it. We can have the joy that they have, but we got to do what they did. You see, we're so used to, you know, Kmart Blue Light specials, you know, and substitutes for this and substitutes for that. We think, I want this, but I don't want to do anything to get it. Well, then you're not going to get it. If you want that happiness that you read about in their lives, you must be willing to do what these people did in order to get it. You say, well, Pastor, what did they do? Go back to verse 41 again. It says in verse 41, then they that, what's the next word? Gladly received his word. Folks, if you want what these people had, first thing you got to do is gladly receive the word of God. You've got to gladly receive his word. And when Peter stood up and preached, they didn't sit there with their arms folded and say, oh, I ain't listening to this. They didn't sit there with an attitude and say, who do you think you are? They sat and listened to what the man of God had to say. And they heard the word of God preached. And then they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and follow the Lord and believers' baptism and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is, you say that's all you got to do. Folks, that's all you got to do. You got to hear what God has to say. You must realize, like they did, that the world's so-called joy and gladness is just a wretched counterfeit of joy and gladness. Well, I showed you that last week. It's not going to last. The world's joy and gladness is temporal at best. It's not going to last. But when Peter stood up and preached to these people the Word of God, and they received the Word of God, they got a joy, they got a happiness that was the real thing. It came from the Lord. It came from the right source. And so it lasted. It just stayed with them. Now, I don't know how long they continued. It doesn't tell us. I don't know how long it continued, but the implication is that they just stayed there. They just stayed right there, probably for a long time. They stayed and they heard and they learned. And folks, this is all we have to do. I mean, Peter preached the gospel and they realized it as truth. And that caused them to realize the world was offering a false and counterfeit joy. They believed and they repented. They called upon the name of the Lord. They asked for forgiveness and mercy and pardon and grace. These people did this, and that is the explanation of their wonderful joy and happiness. So folks, understand this. Now, here, get this. I think this will help you. Listen very carefully. We need to realize that happiness is the consequence of us doing something else first. All right, now think about that. You see, the world makes a huge mistake by putting happiness as the goal. And if that is what you're striving for, to be happy, you will never find what you're looking for. Happiness is never meant to be the goal. You say, well, Pastor, what is the goal? Take your Bible and go back to Matthew chapter 5. Let me show you what Jesus said about this. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. Happiness is the consequence of us doing something else first. Happiness is not the goal. The world, my goal is to be happy. You'll never make it. You'll just never make it. Happiness should not be the goal. Look please, if you will, at verse 6. Jesus is giving what we call here the Beatitudes, the blessings. And in verse 6, he said, blessed. You know what that word blessed means? You and I today in 2007 would understand that to be happy. Happy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, folks, this wonderful little statement here. Blessed, happy are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Look very carefully at that verse. Folks, happiness is not the goal. The goal is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the goal. So happiness is the consequence of us doing something else. And that something else is realizing that we are just sinners like these people did, realizing that we're just sinners and that we're on our way to hell, but that Jesus did something for us on the cross. He died for us and paid our sin penalty, and realizing that if we will repent of our sin, calling upon His name, believing in Him, He will forgive us, change us, make us new creatures in Christ, strip away the veneer of the world's happiness, and give us that true joy and true peace and true happiness that only He can give to our souls. So why were these 3,000 people so happy and full of gladness? Folks, the answer is really quite simple. They were glad because they believed the gospel. It was because once they believed the gospel, they then day after day went in and sat down at the feet of the apostles and they learned their doctrine. It was because they daily went to fellowship with the others. It's because they daily went to break bread and remember with thanksgiving what Jesus had done for them. It's because they continued steadfastly in the matter of prayer and they prayed and God answered prayer. And this is the experience of the believer when he comes to Christ. I've had so many people through the years, oh my soul, through so many. Pastor, I'm just not happy. Pastor, I just can't find happiness. Pastor, we're not happy. Well, folks, you're looking for happiness and you're never going to find it. Happiness is the consequence of a right relationship between you and God. Happiness comes as a byproduct of you as a believer hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Just having a heart that's after God. I don't know how many times through the years people have come to me and their marriage is ready to go or they're ready to go. I mean, you know, just devastated with life and all that it brings. And they'll call and make an appointment and come in and sit down and they'll look at me and they'll say, Pastor, I'm just not happy. And there's been several times where I've just sat there and shook my head. And I've said, it's no wonder. They'll look at me and say, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, you don't come to church maybe twice a month. You don't read your Bible. Well, how do you know I don't read my Bible? I know you don't. You listening? And you don't pray. And all of a sudden, you'd have thought I said, let's pray. The head goes down. You see, folks, we got the goal is the wrong thing. Oh, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Boy, if I just had money, I'd be happy. And if I just had this, I'd be happy. If I just had that, I'd be happy. Hey, listen, happiness is to know the Savior. Happiness is to know God. Happiness is to get in the Bible. Happiness is to be in church and grow and learn and develop and mature as a Christian. That's where you're going to find happiness. Remember when you first got saved? Remember when you first got saved, man, you couldn't wait to read the Bible, couldn't wait to pray, couldn't wait to be in church. When you got saved, your eyes were open to the fact that the Lord had delivered you from a devil's hell. He had delivered you from appalling ignorance about God and about yourself. The truth of the matter is, folks, salvation changes everything. And once you get saved, all of a sudden you realize that change and the fact that you can now fellowship with the Lord. And it is that fellowship that brings happiness. Folks, it's fellowship that brings happiness. I mean, look at any man-woman relationship. Look at any man-woman relationship. When are you the happiest in your relationship? It's when there is communication. I mean, my goodness, through the years, hundreds, Pastor, he just never speaks to me. Now they are sitting in my office ready to kill one another. And you can always just keep chopping away and whittling away, and it gets down to it. And finally, here's what she says. She just says, well, Pastor, he just won't communicate with me. It's like talking to a wall trying to get something out of this guy. And right there is the problem. I've never had anybody come in my office, sit there, hold hands or put their arms around one another and say, Pastor, we just love one another so much we talk all the time. It's great. No, they always come into my office ready to commit suicide to get away from one another. They come into my office with tears. They come into my office with a broken spirit and sit down, and it inevitably gets around to the fact that there's no communication. There's no fellowship. We just don't talk. And folks, happiness comes from fellowship. Fellowship with God. And that's why you've got a Bible up here, because God wants to fellowship with you. That's why you have a high priest that is seated at the right hand of God the Father, because God wants to fellowship with you. That's why you have a church that meets on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. Amen. Because God wants your fellowship. Now let me shift gears just a little bit and say, fourthly, they were happy because they were delivered from danger. Delivered from danger. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? All right. Not physical danger. Go back to verse 37 where Peter finished preaching. I mean, you got to remember now, he's, man, this is a barn burning sermon. He has rattled the gates with this one. And verse 37, it said, now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. They were pricked in their hearts. Now, think about it. Think about it. They heard, through the Apostle Peter's preaching, the truth. They heard that they were sinners. They heard that they had crucified the Son of God. They heard that they were murderers. That they had crucified, get this now, God's Son. Not just somebody out on the street, that they had literally murdered, executed, killed the Son of God Himself. They heard the truth, and they understood that the truth is they, as sinners, were standing empty-handed facing the wrath of God Almighty. They realized they were not animals, but were created in the image of God, and that they had a mind that they could think. They had a will they could choose. They had emotions they could feel. And as they stood there, stripped of their own self-righteousness, these people realized that they were responsible beings who were going to have to stand before their Maker and give account of their lives. And they had been made to see that misery and destruction was all they had to look forward to in the future. So when Peter preached the way he did and exposed them for what they were, they listened to Peter preach, and they felt so humbled. They felt so wicked. They had seen the enormity of their rejection of Jesus, and they wondered in their own minds, can I ever be forgiven? But now they had found that they could be delivered from judgment, from condemnation, from the wrath to come. As Peter said, repent and you can be. My friends, I'm here today to tell you that anybody who knows anything about that forgiveness is a happy person. Can you imagine how exposed they were? And Peter is standing there looking at them. They're pricked in their hearts. They're standing there realizing, oh no, we killed God's Son. What's God going to do? And they said, what do we do? Gentlemen, what do we do? Peter said, repent. Can you see them? Hit their knees and cry out for mercy. And boy, when they did, they got it. Oh, by the way, so did you when you cried out for mercy. Yeah, you got it too. That I don't know about you, but that made me happy.
Amen.
Yes. I remember when it happened to me 37 years ago. I remember walking down that aisle and getting on my knees. That youth pastor came over and said, "Just pray." I said, "I don't know how to pray." I said, "I can't pray. I don't even know what to say." He said, "Well, let me help you." And he said, "Here, just pray after me." But he said, "I want you to mean it in your heart." I said, I mean it. And I prayed. I asked Jesus, "Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin." I said, "Lord, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be standing in front of you with all your wrath and glory. I deserve it. But Lord, if you'll save me, I'll let you." And boy, he did. He did. I was so happy. I was so happy. I can remember that. So happy that I got saved. And Christian, that's just exactly the way these people felt. Such a person, it's like a man's been suffering from some incurable disease and he's gone to every doctor, but he's still slowly dying. But he gets up one morning and reads the headlines and reads that a cure has been discovered for the very disease that's killing him. So he gets the cure, takes it, and is cured. You pass him on the street. "Hey, man, how you doing?" "I'm happy." Sure, he got delivered. He got delivered. It's like a new Christian is like a drowning man out in the ocean who's about to go under for the third time. And he's struggling and he's kicking and he realizes that his life is passing right before his very eyes. And he takes one big last gulp of breath. And just before he goes under, out of nowhere comes an arm, reaches around and pulls him over into a boat. He lays down in the bottom of that boat and looks up at the blue sky. And there's the man that pulled him to safety, smiled and said, "Sir, are you okay?" He said, "Man, I'm the happiest guy on the face of the earth right now." Yeah, he got delivered from death. And that's exactly what happens when you get saved. You get delivered from death by the grace of a loving God. Oh, my friend, multiply that by infinity. And that's the gladness and joy that a person who comes to Christ feels. And in this matter of getting saved, you get saved and you've been delivered from an eternal hell. You get saved and you've been delivered from torment in the fires of hell. I mean, it's amazing what the Lord has done for us. And when you get saved and you think about it and you realize what the Lord has done for you and you realize that He is your God who is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, you read these promises and realize that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You read these promises and realize that you have 24-hour-a-day access to His throne. You read this Bible and find out all God's done for you. It'll make you a happy person. It'll make you a happy person. Now, let me just quote you some Bible verses. Let me just, you know, again, people, I want to make sure you understand that happiness is not based on circumstances. Happiness is the product of something else. You need not turn to these. You can write them down if you want to, but we'll not take the time to turn to them. First one is in Psalm 112 in verse 1. Listen to what the psalmist said. Blessed, happy. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Now, you want to know what God's commandments are? It's called the Bible. Amen. Happy is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth in His commandments, that walketh in His, delighteth greatly in His commandments. Now, Pastor, I'm just not happy. It's because you're not reading the Bible. You got to read the Bible. Let me give you another one. Psalm 128 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. You say, "Well, you know, I need to learn what the ways of the Lord really I don't know what that phrase means." Here, right here. This is what it means. These are the Lord's ways. Hey, folks, are you seeing a pattern develop here? Get in a book. You got to read the book. We get out here in life and we get all wrapped up and everything coming and going, and this takes back seat. And our focus is on everything external, seeking external things to make us happy. Let me give you another one. In Psalm 84 and verse 4, the Bible said, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Well, Pastor, I'm just not happy. Maybe you ought to come to church on Sunday nights. And maybe you ought to come on Wednesday nights. Because the Bible said, blessed are they that dwell in their house. Hey, folks, we are blessed, we are happy when we are saved, when we're trusting in the Lord, when we're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, when we are faithful to church for fellowship in the Lord and fellowship with one another. We are happy when we're steadfast in remembering Jesus and what He did for us on the cross. And we are happy in the Lord when we are steadfast in the matter of prayer. I'm saying, folks, you cannot make happiness the goal. The goal must be the fellowship. And right here in this book, and right here in this fellowship, and right here is how we fellowship with the Lord. We must have a right relationship with God. That must be the goal. And the end result of that will be happiness. I don't know, folks, how many people over the last 30 years, I've heard say, "Well, I'm just not happy." Well, Pastor, I just don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just not happy. My dear friend, you will not find true happiness until you are walking in the Lord and putting Him first in all things. Now, it's just that simple. Now, I know that there are sometimes physical reasons why people can be depressed and why people. I understand all that. I wholeheartedly understand all that. But folks, I just happen to believe this book right here. And if we will put first Christ and His righteousness, all these other things will be added unto us. All these other things. I had an assistant pastor down in West Virginia. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. He's still living. He's in his upper 80s now. And he's still working in a church. I don't think full time, but he's still at it. And that guy was just, I mean, it wasn't an act. The reason I know it wasn't an act is because, you know, 20-some years later, he's still this way. And I asked his children one day, I said, "Is he like this at home?" They said, "Yep." "Happiest guy you ever seen in your life." And I asked him one day, I said, "Bruce, let me ask you a question." I said, "Are you just always this happy?" He said, "Pastor, I have my days like everybody else." But he said, "You know, yeah." He said, "I get up every morning, 4:30, 5 o'clock. I read my Bible." He said, I don't just fly through it. He said, "I read it looking for truths, looking for promises. And I let God speak to my heart through the book." He said, "After I read the Bible for a while, I get on my knees and I talk to God. And God talks to me. And then I talk to God." And he said, "Pastor, I've learned that happiness and joy is a thing that God gives when we're in fellowship with Him. My goal is the fellowship. Happiness is just a byproduct of following after the goal." Do you see what I'm saying this morning, folks? Now, I know some of you folks, you're sitting here and you're saying, "Man, I sure wish I was happy." Well, you can be. You can be. But you got to do what these people did in order to get happy. And the thing they did was they continued steadfastly. They just stayed with it. Not hit and miss, not in and out, not up and down, not cold and hot. No, they just stayed with it. And that's what we need to do. May God help us just to stay with it. Bow your heads with me, please. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your wonderful book. And Father, I pray that You will bless what has been said here. I thank You, Lord, that we have the opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, I just pray that what has been said will be words that will encourage and help somebody's heart here today. Lord, one of the greatest needs is for believers to just have that fellowship, to just make fellowship the goal. And Lord, it's so easy to get our eyes off of that main point and focus on the happiness. Lord, happiness is a beautiful byproduct of fellowship, but it's the fellowship is the main thing. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give us a heart that wants to fellowship with the Savior this morning. Lord, speak to every person and draw us near to yourself now in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many Christians here this morning? You're saved. You know for sure you're saved. And you'll say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart today. God has spoken to my heart. I want to be happy. And I haven't been happy in the Lord. I just haven't. And I know why. I see why. And Pastor, I'm tired of trying to make happiness the goal. I want to make fellowship the goal. I want that fellowship to be my goal. And Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. I want that fellowship with Him. And God's speaking to my heart about it this morning. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this morning all over this building. Raise your hand and let's pray. Yes, God bless you, folks. Many, many hands. God bless you. And folks, that's going to be the key. All right? That's going to be the key. Get in your book. Get in the Bible. Get in church. Be faithful. And let's grow in the Lord. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes closed. We'll pray in just a moment. Maybe somebody here will say, Pastor, you asked. You may put your hands down. You say, Pastor, you spoke to your church folks this morning, but I'm not even sure I'm saved. Preacher, if I died right now, I don't have 100% assurance that I'd go to heaven. And God's dealing with my heart this morning, preacher. I sit here, I think I need to get saved. I think I need the Lord to be my Savior. And Pastor, I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I know I need to be. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, but I know I need the Lord. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, now, Father, you know our needs this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God will meet those needs in our lives. Lord, you've seen the hands, and the hands represent hearts. And, Lord, there's a few that aren't sure they're saved. May today be the day of salvation. Lord, may these come, and let someone take a Bible and show them from the Word of God how they can know that you're going to heaven when they die. And then, Lord, I want to pray for these Christians, and a great number of people raise their hand this morning. And Lord, they want happiness and they want to be joyous in their lives. Nobody wants to go through life miserable. But Lord, help us to see that happiness can be obtained. But we have to do what these folks did. They were happy, but we have to do what they did. There were some things they did, and that brought about their happiness. And Lord, just summed up, they fellowshipped. They fellowshipped with you. They fellowshipped in your word. They fellowshipped in the doctrine of the apostles. They fellowshipped with one another in church. And, Lord, they fellowshipped in prayer. I just ask, Lord, that you'll give us understanding of how this thing works. And, Lord, may we have that same heart. Bless, I pray, Father, and speak to hearts. Bless the hearts of your people. For every hand that was raised, Lord, just do a real work in somebody's heart here this morning. May this service be a benchmark where we can look back and say, man, on that August the 5th service, I realized what I was doing wrong, and I got with it, and I'm so glad I did. Oh, Lord, do a work now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.